You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. I am your host, Matthew Raphael Johnson, and today's date is the 10th of August, 2023, and we pray for the day where I'm not doing these alone anymore, and our friend Sven Longshanks is released from his unjust prison sentence. Today I want to talk about something that I haven't spoken of in a while. I'm basing this on two articles, recent articles from Paul Craig Roberts, who, as you know, is one of my favorite writers, the former assistant secretary to the Treasury Department under Ronald Reagan. And of course, it's about the indictments against Donald Trump. I resisted doing this because there is no law involved here. These are inventions that, if they were used in the past this way, very few presidents would be able to escape it. It's very obvious what's going on, but because of mass censorship, it's very easy for them to pull this off. Nationalists don't really have an organization of any significance that could help in this regard. And so, you know, as always, the middle classes simply have to swallow it. Paul Craig Roberts, I think, has done the best job at trying to, you know, it's hard to debate with someone who doesn't really have any content. There's nothing to sink your claws into. And there's certainly no content to these indictments. The motivation for this is very obvious. But one of the more obnoxious, and I think deliberately obnoxious, is that the very act of challenging the absurdly manipulated vote in the last presidential election somehow in and of itself is a crime. And I've published on this topic. I've tried to get the highlights of all of the evidence, increasingly obvious evidence that the election was stolen. You've also heard me talk about the Time magazine article that came out the February after that election, that admits in no uncertain terms that the election was stolen. And I'm not sure why very few people are actually talking about that. Joe Biden didn't campaign. The only reason you don't campaign is because you're an embarrassment, or you don't have to. The rallies Trump had in both elections were absolutely enormous. He sells out stadiums in small-town America. We all saw the Trump signs everywhere you go, outnumbering anything else by a margin of 20 to 1 at least. Biden was one of the worst candidates. He was driven from the election years ago in disgrace. It's not the first time that he's gotten into trouble. And we know that YouTube removed the dislike button exclusively because anything that Biden was doing, first of all, wasn't getting many views. And second of all, the dislikes outnumbered the likes by a huge and hilarious margin. The enthusiasm for Donald Trump in the last election was overwhelming. You had entire stores. You had chains of stores developing, not just on the roadside, but in actual brick and mortar places, selling everything Trump. So questioning the fact that, you know, Black Lives Matter and other leftist Red Guards were trying to shut down rallies, were trying to shut down voter intimidation was everywhere. And of course, the mail-in vote ID. Of course, the Democrats demanded that it be possible to receive these mail-ins after election day. And all of a sudden, it now takes days to count votes, where just a few years ago, it was over by maybe a little bit after midnight. Donald Trump had gigantic margins in key states that, I don't know, after 11, after midnight, you see this flood of 100% pro-Biden ballots pouring in. In all these swing states, my own state of Pennsylvania, he won every county he won in 2016 and several more. You know, Democrats were losing voters all over the place. Pennsylvania, Republicans added another 150,000. I cited the, you know, black-oriented blogs and writers who were saying that blacks are not voting Democrat this year. The impossible vote increases for Joe Biden after 11 p.m. And this was just from Philadelphia, but everywhere, Trump was destroying Biden. After 11, all of a sudden, a huge number of votes exclusively for Biden come in. They were dumped into the system in 44 groups of 6,000 and 12,000 and 18,000. Of course, these numbers are absolutely impossible. In Wisconsin, the Democrats lost 100,000 voters. In 2016, in Wisconsin, the turnout rate was 67%, which is, you know, normal. And all of a sudden, the last election, it jumped to almost 95%, numbers unheard of before. These states, Democrats lost huge numbers of votes. Republicans gained. Biden's victory is largely impossible. So Biden allegedly won this by erasing Trump's 2016 margins and negating the removal of thousands of Democrats from the rolls in that 4 years. There is every reason in the world to challenge this ridiculous election. The only reason the Democrats would want the mail-ins coming in after Election Day is to manipulate the vote tally. Anyway, Paul Craig Roberts starts off by simply saying President Trump has broken no laws, which is an obvious statement. We have to be so careful when dealing with the judicial system because there is no law anymore. We know this in whether it be in the UK or the USA. Now, as you know, there is no real substantial difference between the two political parties. Rhino Republicans are actually just plain old Republicans. But to state the obvious here, these charges, usually from appointees from the opposition, exist only for propaganda. It may be backfiring. They figure if they just keep shooting, they'll eventually hit something. The point is to put Trump on the sidelines. They know that they can't produce anyone who could win an election despite all of the propaganda, despite the admitted destruction of, whether it be in Facebook or YouTube, anything opposed to the regime. Massive purges from Facebook and other places going back to 2015. Shutting down campaign rallies. These are, you know, that by itself is third world level. They wouldn't be doing any of this if they thought he wasn't going to win. So these charges, they're based on these interpretations of extrapolations of law that have never been seen before. So he says that the three charges, and now the pending fourth one, are charges against Trump while he was in office as president. So the regime says that the president has committed many felonies, amounting to four separate felony trials, which is highly unlikely. And of course, he then goes to talk about whatever crimes were done, whether it be in Vietnam or World War II. Usually the only people who go to prison are those blowing the whistle. We know how the regime is. The Snowden case. We can go on. And he goes into a little bit of detail. The retention of national security documents, which is hilarious. It's so, no one's even talking about what these might be. They're allowed, presidents and presidential appointees are allowed copies of this work. There's allegedly 31 classified documents. This non-entity named Jack Smith head of the so-called Integrity Unit, who invented 37 felony counts against him. There's no basis in law for any of this. No one has ever been charged under these phony charges. I mean, after all, the president has every authority to declassify documents. But Paul Craig Roberts makes the obvious point that his opponents, the regime, knows that they own the media, the law schools, the governing class. They decide what's acceptable, and it changes depending on their interests. The only thing they care about is getting rid of Donald Trump, and they realize that most mainstream media institutions are not going to challenge them on this. These 37 felony charges, which is absolutely hilarious, there's no evidence presented that Trump knew anything improper was in these boxes. It's a mere assertion. And he notes that after they were seized, it's very easy to simply stick something in there. The FBI certainly is more than capable of that. There's a positive sign to this, is that thinking people don't take the FBI seriously anymore. It's an old saw that policemen tend to be right-wing, but certainly not at the federal level. It's 100% regime. You know, I just saw, those of you who are a part of my Patreon club know I've been talking about the leadership void and the collapse and the purges of the U.S. military. And just yesterday, RT, Russia Today, just had an article on the leadership void in the American military. I mean, someone's reading my stuff. And the same thing is the case with the FBI. All of these institutions have been purged over and over again. Now, Roberts also mentions, and I kind of forgot about this, in 2012, Judicial Watch sued Bill Clinton to turn over precisely these sort of records. But a judge, of course, Amy Berman Jackson from the Obama administration, stated that the court couldn't do this. You can't second guess, so to speak, the president's assertion of these documents, to which he was entitled. It was explicitly stated. And here's a quote. The judge said that since the president is completely entrusted with the management and even the disposal of presidential records during his time in office, it would be difficult for this court to conclude that Congress intended that he would have less authority to do what he pleases with what he considers to be his personal records. End quote. I remember that at the time. I kind of forgot about it, and it's an important point. But this happens so often that it really doesn't shock anyone anymore. Of course, many years ago, people like me predicted that this is going to be the norm. But seeing you're right and seeing it in front of your face is very different from the prediction. Still have this prejudice that somehow this kind of thing doesn't happen, or at least not systematically. Well, it's systematic here, and it depends on the political image, even the agenda of whoever is on the dock. So this Jack Smith, who is a non-entity, brought these felony cases based entirely on assertion. There's no probable cause here. The claim is that Jack Smith knows, not anyone else, knows what documents the president has a right to retain. Well, he's not your ordinary president. For all of his many flaws in office, and actually Roberts says here what I said at the time, his naivete, the fact that he really wasn't a political guy, he didn't use the money from the regime to finance his first campaign. And, of course, Jack Smith's team, all of a sudden he has a team now, admits all of it. So the President Trump, Jack Smith's team has failed to turn over all the evidence to Trump's legal team, as required by law. And they even lied, saying that they had done this. So here you have a full admission that Smith lied over that important issue, you know, basic discovery. So if he's going to lie about that, he could lie about anything. Now, the other case that many of you already are unfortunately aware of is more obnoxious, and that's why I started off with the election issue, that the very act of challenging an obviously stolen election while still president, that means that he was involved in a conspiracy to, quote, impair, object, and defeat the counting of votes, end quote. Now, as always in these kind of scam show trials, the truth is never a defense. We saw that with Sven Longstrand, we see that with the Holocaust trials. Truth doesn't matter. So, the charge isn't so much that Trump defeated or tried to stop the counting of votes, which he clearly didn't. I mean, he allowed himself to be replaced by Joe Biden, despite the fact that Joe Biden had 100 lawyers on standby to challenge the election if Trump had won. It's the mere challenging of the vote count. You can say the same thing with the Sandy Hook case. The very act of challenging it is considered some sort of a crime, whether it be, you know, or a criminal or at least a civil offense. The mere act of challenging or mentioning or talking about voter irregularities, and it's blatantly obvious that that was the case, that that in and of itself is a crime, a conspiracy to overturn the election. And it's not merely to eliminate him from the next presidential election. It's also, in fact, to keep anyone else from speaking like this. If they're willing to do this to him, then I think you're all well aware that they would have no problem doing it to someone much less powerful. Keep in mind, of course, and I know most of you know this, but the so-called insurrection, which made me laugh, occurs right after months of physical attacks in every American city on state houses and private homes, state legislatures, courthouses, with the mutilation and killing of police officers. Several were killed. And not only was that not condemned, in fact, it was praised, as we all know. They, of course, attacked in Washington, D.C. as well, to the cheers and the cover stories of the media. But we all know what that January 6th thing was. It was the work of federal agents. Trump was a mile away at the monument when he was speaking. We all saw the video, police escorting a few unarmed people around the Capitol. Very little damage was done. The evidence, of course, is very obvious now. It was a provocation. A handful of protesters present in an effort to create a violent scene for the media to do what they're told to do. And under the circumstances, protests are justified. If there was fraud everywhere, the election doesn't have a shred of integrity. And that, you know, a senile man has no more claim to be president than I do. Fannie Willis down in Atlanta, Trump asked for the Georgia results to be reviewed, handed it over to the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to investigate the widespread evidence of electoral fraud, and that Biden had somehow pulled this election off by something like 11,000 votes in a solidly Republican state. In a state, although has a large percentage of non-whites, non-whites were not excited about Joe Biden. Very few people. He is the least exciting person you could think of. And he refused to campaign. Now, of course, there is the claim that Raffensperger took bribes to use a Dominion system that anyone who studies these know is very easy to hack into, easy to program vote counts differently than how they're initially cast. There's a few states that won't allow them. There's a few countries like the Philippines that won't allow them. So, none of these, of course, have anything to do with reality or law. And then, speaking of that, another quota hire, Alvin Bragg, and serving as a New York prosecutor, charged Trump with 34 felonies. I don't know how you get 34 felonies out of this in the Stormy Daniels issue. And the charge is a very specific one that reported the payment as a legal expense versus a campaign expense. It's not the money that's the problem. It was the incorrect reporting of it, which is nothing more than an opinion of the prosecutor. And how in heaven's name can you get 34 felony charges out of that? So, and he, you know, Roberts, again, makes the obvious point that it does bear repeating, because the fact it's an obvious point doesn't mean, you know, it still is so extraordinary. But coming up with, you know, 34 charges on the one hand, 37 on the other, the point is to create in the public mind that Trump has just committed a massive number of crimes. One of the stupider slogans that you hear about this stuff, and they've been saying this for a long time, is that where there's smoke, there's fire. And I really, you know, you people wonder why I don't trust the jury system, why I don't vote, that this is somehow considered a logical, factual point. No, that isn't true factually. Legally, that's the entire point of a trial, is to see whether or not there's fire. You don't jump to the conclusion beforehand. And the media bias would make, and this doesn't just go for Donald Trump, it goes for a lot of the accused, if they're white, where the media has condemned them, has considered them guilty, has screamed at the top of their lungs that they're guilty, meaning that a trial is impossible. The media controls every aspect of how the normie American thinks about the world. Yeah, when you have an entire media, academic, entire journalistic elite, entertainment and otherwise, against him, usually without a knowledge as to why, it's easy to create this smoke and to invent this smoke. And people just assume that, well, these charges are being brought by the authorities, therefore there must be something to them or they wouldn't be brought at all. But the point of this is that this is a lawless society. Law is applied depending on who the recipient is. And it doesn't take a whole lot of logical analysis to come to the conclusion that law is merely a weapon. You know, I defend, you know, monarchy many years ago and continue to do so. Law on a piece of paper doesn't say anything. These definitions and these applications, whether you talk about, you know, precedent or media bias or the bias of the administrations, you can make them sound however you want. Of course they're being weaponized. That's the problem with this mechanical and positivist approach to law. The news is weaponized. The dollar is weaponized. People really don't know why they're opposed to Donald Trump. It's simply a matter of brainwashing. And the fact that the regime was able so fast to mobilize the entertainment, news, academia, and even the art world to vehemently oppose this man, starting with the Sears Roebuck Company back in 15, condemning him for being opposed to illegal immigrant labor, which some of these companies are dependent upon. It never stopped, and it just snowballed, and most people probably couldn't tell you in any detail why. But we can tell you that, you know, the concept of the rule of law, which is iffy under the best of circumstances, the only time it isn't is when you have a homogenous society. Yeah, there's a reason why Japan and South Korea don't have a whole lot of crime. But even there, the rule of law is simply the rule of the homogeneous national unit. When you have this, you know, non-existent nation as the U.S., this patchwork of deliberately created ethnic enclaves, everyone but whites, you can't have the rule of law. So it's been dead for a very long time. It's just now the regime is confident that they can simply push this without any real opposition. But Roberts does mention another point, and that is that an American president is surrounded by legal counsel 24 hours a day. The point of that is to make sure that he doesn't break any laws. It simply isn't possible for a president to break laws in that way. No president in U.S. history has been indicted despite all of the corruption in the past. But the political party that he represents would be outraged. Talking about the political nature of all this, the indicting party would, you know, many generations ago, be overwhelmed with criticism and exposure in a case like this. But of course, that's not the case now. The media creates a climate of fear that saying the wrong thing will absolutely destroy your career, your life. It doesn't even have to be anything in particular. Now, something that Roberts and I said at the same time was when Donald Trump ran for election and was elected, you know, an election that was rigged against him, but he won anyway. Donald Trump, you know, had not been a political figure. I grew up in the New York media market, New York City, and I was a kid when he first came to prominence, and he never uttered a political word, at least not that I could ever remember. All of a sudden, 2015, that changed. The point is that he didn't have any real knowledge about how Washington worked or even how politics works. Yeah, he challenged the ruling powers and he challenged the regime, but didn't really know how to go about fighting that battle. He was overwhelmed from day one. You think of, you know, bringing someone in like Mike Pence, bringing someone in like that idiot Bolton, on and on and on. I don't think he was fully aware of the distinctions among various groups, neocons or whatever. Pence says the most idiotic things. Trump put Trump above the Constitution, he said, and he should never be permitted to become president. Well, the only thing he could possibly mean by that is saying that Donald Trump challenged the very same regime that Pence serves, that DeSantis serves. You remember in 2016 how the regime all of a sudden noticed libertarians for the first time? Bill Weld and what's his name? They weren't libertarians by any stretch of any human imagination. But it didn't matter. Republicans think libertarian, they must be good guys, poor souls, and then there was an obvious point to it. Of course, in the last election, libertarians were never mentioned. Pence was the one who refused to prevent the certification of the vote before it could be verified. Pence got Trump out of office prior to knowing if the vote was honest. Remember, Biden had made it clear, and Hillary at the time, even Hillary said that, if Trump wins, we're not going anywhere. We're going to challenge this election. And as I mentioned, he had 100 lawyers, at least, on standby in you know, a few in different states. It's the outrage about what happened in that election, the most recent one. 29 states had voter registrations over 100%. Alaska, Colorado, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Vermont. You had, and many others, you had 353 counties had impossible voter registration numbers. You had 450,000 ballots found in key states with only votes for Biden and nothing down ballot. In paper balloting, you vote for others under the presidential election, you know, for Congress and whatever, local races. But the fact that you had almost 500,000 of these with nothing but Biden checked, to check the presidential box and ignore the others is very rare. There's millions of examples of things like this. The hammer and scorecard hacking software using to flip votes from Trump to Biden in some of the pre-election ballots. And of course, Dominion itself is run by leftist activists, and they are responsible for this. And some of the governors of these states were well aware of it. Donald Trump has every reason to challenge this. It is the greatest fraud in American political history. 3 weeks after the election, you know, ballots were still being counted. Minnesota had a 90-something percent vote turnout prior to that. prior to the last election, it was in maybe the high 60s. If a guy like Joe Biden can't speak coherently, if he can't lay out a single aspect of policy, if he is considered a conservative Democrat, at least in the past, who's voting for him? The ruling class claims numbers like this? Biden had well, he didn't really have rallies, but he had cookouts and stuff for 10, 12 people. The point of it all, of course, is to make certain that no one dares challenge this again, and most of the Republicans wouldn't, simply out of fear. Delaying certification was extremely important in an election that was clearly stolen, and Pence wasn't going to allow that to happen. There's no question about it. We could talk about William Barr, who really part of his job is to keep the administration on the right side of laws and agreements and everything else. It's supposed to protect presidents from consequences of illegal actions. My God, we don't have to talk about all these ridiculous wars abroad, sometimes for no clear reason, even in the public. So you have the protection of Biden and his son for well-known and very obvious crimes, but they have to make up crimes. On August 3rd, actually, it was Barr said these indictments aren't legitimate. That Trump's claim he had a free speech right to say the election was stolen was, quote, not valid. He broke a law that doesn't exist. Somehow it's unconstitutional for challenging the unexamined vote count. The basis of God knows how many scholars and experts who talk about the stolen election, including the regime itself through Time magazine. Indictments are being made on non-existent laws. God, I don't even want to talk about John Bolton. The point is, he didn't go outside of the regime to staff his White House. He didn't understand the neoconservative idea. He thought that showering praise on Israel was going to mean that the Jews in America were going to leave him alone. And he was wrong. He was wrong about many things. His intentions were honest. He was just in over his head. He gets in again, he may not make those same mistakes. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. I will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.